Fighters, today on the show, I talked to Bill Ryman. He is with RK Ryman Construction, luxury custom home builder down in South Florida, or Naples, Florida, I mean. And listen, we talk about some cool things about what he wishes subs understood about working with a custom builder, how to approach a custom builder, and a bunch of other stuff like his podcast called The Real Build and things like that. So check out this interview with my buddy Bill. Let's go. Bill, what's up, buddy?
What's going on?
Welcome to the fight. We made it happen.
Yeah, we made this happen. Happy to be here. We're both being flexible with our schedule. We're busy guys.
It's crazy. So you're down in Florida, man. Where in Florida are you at, Marco?
Southwest Florida. So for those of you, it's in Naples. Primarily, we're doing most of our builds on Marco Island, but Marco Island south of Naples. So we also build in Naples as well.
Cool. Are you from there?
Originally from Chicago, or outside of Chicago, but grew up down here pretty much. Yeah, parents got us out of Illinois, got us out of that cold weather. So
that's right. We talked about that. We talked about that before. What town were you from again?
I was born St. Charles, Illinois.
That's right. Yeah.
I'm from Wheaton.
Yeah. So we were freaking 20 minutes apart.
Yep. Had a place in Naperville before it was all booming. It was all farmland back then. But
you remember that, huh? Wow. Yeah. I remember we used to drive down Route 59 and it was just cornfields after cornfields. And it's crazy. Naperville's funny because I want to say the population there is now like 150, 160,000 people. But from the very south end of Naperville to the very north end of Naperville, it takes you like 45 minutes.
Yeah.
Like it's crazy, you know, I got out of there in 2015. So, and moved to Colorado Springs and I'll tell you what, there's a lot less traffic here, but Colorado people, I love you. I love the state, but you fuckers don't know how to drive to save your life. Dude, they do this thing here. I don't know if you see this anywhere else. I never saw it till I got to Colorado. You know how you have an on-ramp and you're merging?
Yeah.
People stop. Like people that are merging onto the highway will stop. I'm like, merging 101, people. Like, you know, this is you accelerate or you slow down and vice versa and you merge. That's why they call it merging. And so anyway, I don't want to go off on that, but it's pretty crazy. And that, okay. All right. Second pet peeve here with driving. All right. In Colorado is I swear I am not kidding around here and I'm probably going to get a bunch of hate mail for this. Texas, I love you guys. I love your state. I love what you stand for. But 7 out of 10 times when there's a dumb shit driver in front of me, they have Texas plates. So I'm just saying, man, I'm just throwing, maybe let's just give Texas the benefit of the doubt. Maybe they got rid of them, Bill. Maybe they said, get the hell out of our state because you don't know how to drive. But I don't know. Anyway.
If I had to get, I live in Florida. It's a lot older people here. Yeah. You want to know, you know, it's all slow drivers. 10 miles an hour in the left lane below the speed limit. Drive you nuts.
God, that would drive me crazy. So, good thing we don't have to make a living with driving, I guess, right? So,
yeah.
There you go. We can do other things. And so... So I shared a little bit in the intro what you guys do and who you are and all this other stuff, but tell us about the family business a little, man. Dig in and just give us kind of that 30,000 foot view so people have a context what we dig into here today.
Yeah. I mean, I grew up in construction. My dad, blue collar family. My dad was an ex-Marine, Vietnam vet. So, you know, and he always kind of came from a poor background, kind of worked his ass off, you know, from nothing and from the ground up after the Marine Corps. And so he's always instilled that in me, my brother, and my sister our whole entire lives. We were always those ones that had to work, even growing up in school, you know, friends having fun, going out on weekends, doing their things. I was on a job site working and he would always figure out something to do and make it hard. Let's put it that way. And that might've been that Marine in him too.
Yeah, that is.
and, you know, I remember I've said this story before. I remember that he'd have just a mound of cement blocks and he'd probably had nothing else for me to do that day, but made me work. And he's like, hey, move those blocks over there to the other side over here. I need them stacked over here. Mm-hmm. So today now I realize, you know, obviously running the company along with my brother, those don't have to be moved. They're put there first for a reason.
Right.
You know, so just any kind of hard shit you can imagine or do and sweeping jobs, doing whatever. But it made us have appreciation for the business more than anything. Never been handed anything growing up. Still to this day, never been handed anything. I do real estate as a side business, you know, just, and I started other businesses as well as a home watch company and so on. But really instilled that kind of working mindset, what you are, what the amount of work you put into it. So yeah, left Illinois. He owned a concrete company, moved down here, started a building company. Been kind of growing that ever since. My brother and I obviously are running it now, and we are kind of more towards the higher end of building, specialized 4,000 square feet and up now. Mm-hmm. No home we're building is the same. A lot of customization. And that's just kind of the short story to it. So,
well, I love that. And I, you know, give some advice for those that work with their family, because I know we got a lot of contractors do that. And you guys, sounds like you got it dialed in. Like you guys are kicking some ass, but I'm sure there's been a little conflict through the years and some things like, if there hasn't been, that'd probably be even more concerning. Right. So,
yeah.
But I'm just curious what comes to mind when I say, hey, give somebody some advice about working with family.
Yeah. I mean, with me, like obviously it is tough because a lot of times you do feel underpaid. I've talked about this. You do feel underpaid. I probably more than likely could have went to another builder doing what I'm doing. Even on my sales end too, having the knowledge that I know and got paid a lot more money for what I do. But growing up, you got such a respect for the business and its family. It started with that. It has your last name in it. And yeah, you know, one day you're going to take that over and make it even better. That's my overall goal. That's my brother's goal too. You know, me and my brother were polar opposites. I talk a lot. He doesn't talk. So maybe that's why we get along. You know, I have a very open mindset of how growth-wise, how I want to grow the company. I think my brother, he wants to grow, but also he'd be fine with a couple jobs a year. So we're kind of opposite on that end of things. I kind of got to talk him off the ledge with all the clients we got coming up here. He's, you know, turning, the grays are popping up more and more. Yeah. So I'm in the process of working on some hiring and stuff too, to keep us, you know, at a level where we're good and we're not in over our heads. My sister's with us. Me and my sister are a lot alike. We butt heads. That's family right there. You know, she takes things differently, you know, as far as if I tell her to do something, sometimes she doesn't want to do it. So you run into that with family too, because it is family. My fiance is working with us now, so keeping that in the family too. She's doing all our selections. So you kind of got to keep that relationship out of the office. And when I need something done, I've had to have those conversations too. Like, this isn't lovey-dovey. This is business. Business is different than, you know, the relationship. We've had that talk a few times. I go, you can't get emotional when I tell you to do something, you know, because this is how I want it done. It's business, you know. So
sounding like the mob right now. It's business. It's not it's just business.
Well, I mean, it has its perks, because I mean, the perks of family business is you get that trust level. You're always you can trust, everybody's trusted. You know, you work well together, you know there's gonna be no issues because you have that trust, because it is family. But then obviously the downsides is it is family. It's not like dealing with an employee. Yeah. You have to figure out how to communicate at a different way to your family.
Well, you know, it's funny. I'm just thinking, you know, I've not worked with any of my siblings, but if I were to, I wonder how often we'd be telling each other to fuck off, right? Because we're siblings, right?
Like, it happens.
Fuck you, Tom, you know, or whatever. So, well, you stole my next thing, because I had a thing here in my notes. I said, you're about to add to your family as of early July, I believe it was, right? Yeah. I saw on Instagram. So you're engaged now. Congrats.
Thank you.
What's her name?
Elizabeth.
Elizabeth. So Elizabeth, if you're listening to this, he got the way better deal I'm just telling you right now, he outkicked his coverage, and don't ever forget that. He gets gnarly with you. Just put his ass in a headlock and remind him that
he will too.
You know, he came out on the better side of this. So anyway, man, but all seriousness, congrats. That's awesome. A couple things that we wanted to talk about here today. I told you we have, as you know, we have a lot of people that are builders that listen to this, and we have a lot of people that are like specialty contractors who sub and things like that. So I wanted to kind of hit this conversation addressing maybe some things on both sides here, just to help people be a little bit better. And I guess let's start with what do you wish subcontractors as a whole understood about working with luxury builder like you guys? Like, and I want to set this up because mostly we talked about this before I hit record, but like if you go in a Contractor Fight Facebook group and stuff and somebody goes, hey, I'm trying to reach out to this custom home builder, you guys got any advice? You know, I'm a painter or whatever. And dude, there's like 100 comments that are like, fuck builders, man. All they want to do is fuck you over and they just want it up cheap and all this other stuff. And I had amazing relationships with the builders I worked with through the years. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was a pain in the ass one here and there, and I got stiffed a couple, but it's not because I'm throwing this blanket statement over this thing going, they're bad people. It was just, you know, actually, if I got stiffed, it was probably my fault, right? But
yeah.
So anyway, I'm asking you the question, not me. So what do you wish people, what subcontractors knew?
A lot of it's the approach too. I mean, if you're just emailing a builder saying, hey, let me bid your jobs, most of the time I delete them. You know, I'm more impressed with people that actually come through the front door and, you know, make that effort. Yeah, not all the time I'm in the middle of something, I don't want to talk to them, but they're making that effort too. And they actually want to explain. They're not trying to pitch you on their company, or, you know, obviously they are pitching their company, but they're not just there to sell you. I remember this one roofer to this day. Guy comes in and he brings some hot sauce that he created and stuff like that. And cool guy just comes in. He's like, hey, just want to let you guys know we're local. We're doing new roofs right now. I know you're probably loyal to your current roofer, which most contractors are. That's what a lot of subcontractors have to realize. We are loyal as long as they're doing good work. But he goes, hey, if anything happens, you guys want us to shoot you a bid, we're happy to do it. Also, we make hot sauce. Here's some hot sauce. Best damn hot sauce I ever had, too. I ended up getting a bid from that guy. And we're still using our current roofer. But if we need somebody else on other projects, because we have a lot of projects coming on, I'd use them in a heartbeat. And then yep. The first thing I said to him on the phone, I'm like, man, send me more of that hot sauce, too. You know,
I love it.
But they're making a statement to you. They're not trying to be pushy. They're saying, hey, we understand that you're probably working with somebody you've worked with for years, you're loyal to them. But that's the thing with a contractor too. Yeah, for us, for example, we're custom home, we're cost plus, right? Mm-hmm. But I'm still looking out, if you're a good builder, you're still looking out for your client. Yeah. So I'm going to get other roofing bids. If I start seeing my roofer's price keep creeping up, I'm watching that all the time. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to go and bid this other roofer and say, hey, you know, and if my guy can't come down, maybe I'll try that other roofer out too.
Yeah.
So there's always opportunity. Stay top of mind. That's the one thing, but don't be pushy because builders are loyal. You know, I got a painter now. I mean, he's getting expensive. He's getting super expensive. Mm-hmm. And then we tried, because we're so busy, we tried out another painter. Little less money, did a really good job. And I was like, all right, let's kind of start transitioning more jobs to this new painter, because the current painter I had, his price just keeps ticking up. Doesn't seem like, you know, I start seeing his vans all over town doing side jobs for, you know, regular homeowners and stuff like that. Maybe he's getting too busy. He's tacking on to his price because he doesn't really want to do our stuff. He just called me the other day saying, hey, my guys, they don't really stain stuff too well. And I'm starting to get that vibe that he, you know, doesn't want to do, and he keeps upping his price. So that second painter got the opportunity because the first painter is getting in over his head. So,
and what's funny, what I'm hearing, I can see you now. A lot of people are just listening to this. Like there's a lot that body language says and things like that. Right. So what I'm hearing is not somebody that woke up one day and said, oh, my painter raised his prices, I'm going to go find another painter, because that throws the loyalty out the window.
Yeah.
You were sharing, and this is why I want to point this out, there are other factors to the experience and the way that you're just feeling the vibe is going that have caused you to maybe put an eye on something else.
Yep.
Like, and you know, if my prices go up and my value and my service go down, that's a problem. You know, I had a certain builder I'm thinking of in particular. I was raising my prices for a couple of reasons. First, I was job costing and I was just realizing, like, you know, I'm not making that much money, right? So my prices went up, but we had a good relationship where we could have a conversation. You know, it got to the point where, you know, he would call me up and he would go, and he wasn't just doing like luxury homes like you. He did a lot of remodeling projects and things like that. And so we got to the point where we had this conversation where he's like, I just need this painted. Like that was the, that was code for, let's just get this thing done. And then the other side of it was, hey, this is the A game, you know, type thing. And I'm not talking about like doing a shitty job on just get the job painted. I want everyone to understand that, but it's like, it's a difference between painting a $150,000-$200,000 home, right? That's new construction, or a track home, right? Let's just talk about that. They get in there and they spray shit. And then versus, I imagine going into your home and spraying a beautiful trim package, you want it to come out like an auto finish. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's two very different products.
Yeah.
So I think those open lines of communication are good. You were talking about the guy coming in with hot sauce. One of my go-to lines when I'd go in with builders and GCs and stuff like that was, if I went into your office or I called you up, I go, hey, you know, Bill, listen, just a minute here. I'm a painter, you know, we blah, blah, blah. I'm pretty damn sure you have your guy, you know, I mean, I see you're doing homes all over. So I know somebody's painting it. That's cool. I just wanted to let you know that we're here. If you get in a bind, you can't get to a punch list. Yeah, there's, you know, things like that. It's always good to have a deep bench, and I'm cool being your bench guy. And dude, what's funny is that led to an account a couple years later, actually, where it started, where we went in and we did a punch list thing, because they literally had, they were behind on some stuff and whatever, you know how it goes. And we got in with a little punch list stuff, a couple grand worth of work, and that was it. And then, I don't know, a few weeks later, we were called to bid a home, and then we got the home. And the next thing I know, we were doing all the guy's work. And for painting, for us, it was about $500,000 worth of painting a year, you know, but it was playing that long game, just going. And I see that a lot. Like a lot of guys are like, yeah, I never have any luck getting in with these builders and GCs. And I'm like, it's because you expect them to hire you right now.
Yeah.
Like they're, you know, put yourself, also put yourself in the shoes of that other sub, that roofer in your case. Like he's out there, he's doing a good job. He's doing his thing, blah, blah, blah. He's taking care of you. The experience is good. You're reliable. There's safety in that for you too, right? Because you don't want to try new people out. That's scary as hell. And if I'm that guy, I'd want loyalty as well. And so anyway, it works both ways, but I appreciate you sharing that.
No, to go off what you said too, I mean, yeah, obviously price is important to a lot of builders, especially if they're doing fixed cost. I mean, no matter what, cost plus or fixed cost, it is important, but there is that loyalty. And like you just said, though, if you're going to raise your prices, have a conversation with the builder about why you're doing it. Don't just do it and expect the builder to be like, oh, you know, 15,000 more, whatever. You know, I mean, a builder, if you're a good builder, you're not going to do that. You're going to question it for your client. You know what I mean? So that's the difference right there. Is actually saying, you're saying you have that conversation of why my price went up. Hey man, well, cost went up, my material's going up, blah, blah, blah. Explain the situation. More than likely, if that builder's loyal, he's going to be like, yeah, that makes sense. Not just, and I've had subs do that where all of a sudden their price goes up because we see it.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're monitoring your numbers, looking at your bids constantly, seeing all this stuff coming in, I'm the one that has to explain it to the client, not the sub. I got to do the dirty work if the price all of a sudden skyrockets up.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's, and it's important that way. But the long-term game too with builders, like you said, that is so key. Mm-hmm. It's no difference than builders with customers or whatever, playing that long-term game. I mean, eventually you never know what's going to happen. That sub can go out of business, retire, decide he just wants to do side jobs and not do custom builds anymore. You just don't know. And then that's when your opportunity happens because you're top of mind.
Yeah. Hey, my friends, today's episode is brought to you by Contractor Growth Network. And I want to tell you a quick story from one of their clients. His name's Josh. Josh was actually getting too many leads. And the problem with that is most of these leads were not going to be turned into paying clients because they wanted to hire him for a service that he didn't offer, or if, you know, they wanted the cheapest price possible, or maybe they were just too far away, you know, not in his service area and all this other stuff. And so he was wasting just a ton of time on the wrong types of people. So he reached out to Logan and his team at Contractor Growth Network, CGN. Basically, guys, change the game for Josh. They built him a website that only attracts his ideal clients. And the cool thing here is Josh will tell you that in about a 5-week period after launching the site, he sold almost $200,000, $191,000 worth of work. And Josh will tell you now that if you're not getting the right leads, you got to ask yourself where you're fishing, right? Are you fishing in the right places for the right people that are actually going to be your customer? So guys, if you relate to that in any way, I encourage you to go to thecontractorfight.com/CGN, have a conversation with Logan and his team over at Contractor Growth Network, and start making some real money. We'll see you. All right, last question on the whole sub thing, then I want to flip it. If you could wave a magic wand over your experiences that you have with subcontractors through the years, what would you fix? What's the one thing that out of everything that stands out that you would make better?
That's a thinker right there. I mean, probably just like I said, communicating why price increases happen would be a huge one, because it happens quite a bit where their lack of communication too. There's not a lot of communication. They kind of just send stuff or do stuff. If there's an extra, they don't really say why. You know, job site cleanliness, stuff like that, is we're pretty on top of that. I mean, if they would do everything perfect, that'd be great. I'd wave a magic wand for that. yeah, there's never any perfection, no, you know, isn't. But we, that's where we come in. We kind of got to monitor it, and that's where our punch outs come in too, you know? So yeah, I'd probably just say consistent pricing and just communication would probably be best too, because not a lot of them communicate well.
I've been bitching about that for the last couple months. If people have been watching my shit or listening to the show, like every now and then I'm sharing about an experience I'm having here, because we're doing a lot of stuff around the house this summer. And I know some contractors, and the guys that I know that are part of the fight and all this other stuff have been amazing. And it's funny, the trades and things that I don't have anybody, I'm going to Google and I'm the normal homeowner now. I'm looking for somebody. And I tell you what, that has been our biggest gripe is the communication piece. Like, it starts with, like, first answer your damn phone, right? Yeah. But then it's just the communication and doing what you said when you said you would do it. I mean, I can't tell you how many, you know, like one of the projects here, actually three of the projects here, they wouldn't have gotten done if I wasn't picking up my phone, calling or texting, going, hey, what's the plan? Hey, when are you planning on, you know, this and that. Like, I'm chasing it, and everything in me wants to be like, well, I'm going to move on to the next guy. I'm just going to, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. But it has been such a pain in the butt, like, you know, getting anybody to return a call or be reliable. And so it's not as simple for a consumer either. Like, contractors think, oh, it's so hard to find people. Okay. Well, as a consumer, it's so hard to find a contractor too. Like, and I'm seeing the other side of it now in a way that I never have before. And again, now this one guy is doing our, he's installing a new storm door, screen door on our front door. So it's a simple little project, right? He was supposed to come today, this afternoon. He called yesterday. Super cool. He's like, hey, it doesn't look like we ran into a hiccup on this project. We're not going to get out of there as early tomorrow as we thought. Would it be okay if we just bumped it to Thursday afternoon and we'll be there half a day and we'll bang it out? Totally cool. Totally understandable, but you communicated. See, and that's the one little difference. Like, even those of you that do work for builders and stuff, if you're supposed to, I don't know, prime or whatever on a certain day, that's more of a big deal, right? But, you know, whatever it is, and you're going to be late, or you got to bump it a day or whatever it is, give as much notice as you can. And that's the respect part. That's the communication part. Because one of the mistakes I made very early on, I lived in my own little bubble and I thought my trade was the only one that existed within the home. I really did. Like, I'm like, fuck those granite guys and the plumbers, and they're fucking our work up and all this stuff. All right. Well, when you're the one, like you building the home, like you're orchestrating this thing, and one little miscommunication or whatever is affects a lot of other things. So I would just tell all of you that work with builders and we want to do work with builders and have successful relationships, really understand that that person that you're dealing with at that custom home building company, they're juggling a lot too. And the more you can make their life easier, the better it's going to be for everybody. In fact, Bill, I have a painter buddy, and he wanted to get in the door with some more custom builders. And so he created, this is brilliant. He created a big mailer card, and I forget what the image was, but the headline, and it was sent to like, I think 100, 150 builders in his area out on the East Coast. He ended up picking up, I think, two phenomenal accounts from this. So I'm going to give this to all you guys right now. Here it is. The headline said something like, "Tired of your painter holding you hostage." Okay. And it went right after that pain point, because he had talked to so many builders through the years and they're like, yeah, you know, the painter won't get back for the punch list. We can't close the house and, you know, everything's a rush at the end and blah, 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 and this and that. So I would encourage everybody, like whatever that, understand what those main pain points are for not just a builder, but any customer that you're working with. And when you can nail those, that trust factor goes through the roof. So anyway.
Well, one thing to go off of that too is the loyalty factor too. Mm-hmm. Cause right now, for example, times are, you know, subs are busy. Everybody's kind of getting busy and stuff like that. But I always tell, I think I said this to my architect too, because my architect was saying how busy he is and backed up. I said, remember who your main builders are and who sends you the most work. Because when times go slow, a lot of these guys are going to disappear. And the main guys are still going to be here, and we're going to get to choose if we send you work anymore or not, and how you reacted during these crazy times. I'm looking for new pool people now, because my brother's getting pissed off at our pool guy because he's way over. He's way buried on a small builder stuff. This builder's got 50 pools going. We got all these high end pools, stuff like that, and he's too focused on shooting those other pools. And he's lagging on our stuff. So now I'm looking for a new pool builder. So just remember who is going to keep you in business, who's going to make you the most money. That's my advice to it too.
There you go. So what advice can you give somebody who's building homes? Let's flip it now. Somebody who wants to get into it maybe, or who's been into it and they're struggling to grow their business or whatever. Just what comes to mind on the other side of this? Just a couple things.
If you're building a home, my main thing is don't just look at a number. Don't look at just price. I mean, so many people are price driven. You and I talked about this too. It's just the fact that everybody's so price focused on getting the cheapest price, when in the end, the cheapest price isn't always the best price. Mm-hmm. I've preached about this on my personal podcast too, because if you want quality, I mean, you pay for what you get. I mean, that's simple. That saying's been around forever. You know, the cheaper you go, the lack, they're gonna hide the imperfect, you know, they're gonna basically save money somewhere. You gotta remember that. And in the custom home build world with these big homes, I mean, I got competition that they're so cheap, I won't even bid against them. And I always ask up front too, if people are like, hey, I want you to look at my plans, this and that, I say, well, who are you bidding? And they kind of go like, what? Why are you asking me that? And I say, I don't want to waste your time or my time. Time's so valuable. It takes a lot to bid these plans. Obviously, my competition bids them for free. I can't charge for that bid. But a lot of the times, what I'm doing now too is I'm making people dedicated to us by doing a deposit, and it's a non-refundable deposit too. So they're going with us. Otherwise, that, you know, and our plans are our plans too. You're not taking our plans that I sit down with you. Our logo's on those plans too. Yep. You know, you take it somewhere, I'm letting you know we're going to come after you. So
there you go.
Yeah, you know, that's a couple things there.
Cool. Well, you know, one of the things, one of my guys in the fight, Neil, he was a really amazing remodeling contractor, sold his business back in 2012. His thing was the whole design fee thing and deposit and all that stuff, because just to get people off the market. Like once mm-hmm. somebody gives you a design fee, you guys, they're pretty much off the market. They're not shopping anymore. They're done. Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot of reasons to charge design fees and consultation fees or whatever it is. All right. You also work in real estate. Yeah. You're a real estate broker, licensed real estate broker and all that other good stuff. I want to address another segment of the people that listen to this. And that's a lot of contractors want to get into like flipping homes and things yeah. like that. So say a guy's flipping a home and he does the work and blah, 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 and it's ready and they're going to put it on the market. What advice do you have to sell that thing quickly?
On the flip side, I mean, as a realtor, obviously I'm a real estate broker. As a broker, my advantage is that I know, growing up in construction, I know how a home's built from the ground up. So yeah. I'm not your typical Joe Schmo walking in there that just got his real estate license that's saying how big the living room or nice the furniture looks. I'm talking about cabinetry, tile, looking at the whole exterior. Is there any kind of foundation issues? Is there, and people like that. You know, I look at seawalls because we're mostly on water where I'm at, and docks and all that kind of stuff. I can help with the inspection. So a lot of people like that. I mean, on the flipping end, if you're the contractor, GC on it, obviously, you know your work, but a lot of the flipping stuff too, you're trying to get as cheap as possible too, from what I know. I mean, I don't flip homes. I sell them. But I mean, you got to be proud of your work too, because the more proud mm-hmm. of your work you are, and you and I touched on this before we started here, you know, I sell a lot of our homes because I'm proud of our homes.
Yeah.
So when I walk into one of our homes, I can sell it instantly because I know how hard we work on it, how much we go into the punch list. Mm-hmm. I mean, we do multiple punch outs. People think we're nuts. I actually had a customer tell me he was at a car dealership and one of our old, this guy was a salesman there. And he's like, oh yeah, I worked for a painter that did Ryman's houses. He goes, they're nuts. He goes, you should see them and punch outs and this and that. He goes, it's a good thing, but they are nuts. Yeah. So, I mean, to sell a home, you got to really appreciate, and people see that passion behind it too. And so if you're not passionate about what you're doing, you ain't going to sell it.
Yeah, I think that's selling anything, right? Like I think enthusiasm is such a, and passion for what you do is such a huge, and this doesn't mean you just run your mouth all the time and hey, we're really great and stuff, but it's like just that aura that you put off, that energy that you put off, like I'm fired up to be here and you know, like it could really be that simple. So, all right. So as we wind down, you mentioned your podcast. So it's called The Real Build. I want to encourage people to go listen to it. What are they going to hear when they get over to The Real Build? What are some of the things that...
Well, they're going to hear Tom Reber on there, first of all. He's been a guest. Go check that episode out. There, one of my favorites. I learned a lot personally having you on. So yeah, I appreciate you. And I appreciate you having me on yours too. Congrats on the top 100. Now it showcases to people what to look for in the construction and real estate industry, which is broad. So I've had mortgage professionals, I've had closet designers, interior designers, some high-end interior designers that are on HGTV. I've had all kinds of builders, commercial builders, residential builders, track home builders, you know, like I said, insurance agents, anything you can imagine. I've probably hit that niche. I got a concrete guy going on finally. They're a little bit harder to find that want to talk on a podcast. So that's coming up too. I've had construction coaches like Tom on mm-hmm. there. Brian Hess has been on mine too, just like yours. So it's if you're looking to figure out how to build a house, what you need to look for when building or buying any kind of real estate, it is what you need to listen to.
I love it. So I'm going to ask this last question before you kind of share where people can find you and stuff. And I'm asking this because of what I've been doing on this show for so long and things I've learned. So what are some things that come to mind that you might have learned or picked up by interviewing so many people?
A lot. I mean, each podcast, design elements, stuff like that. One thing I learned from you was the touch points. I've been actually doing more of that. You spoke on that on my episode. I was actually going to bring that up of how I'm communicating with the clients more on these mm-hmm. stagnant kind of time frames in between. That's been huge too. So I'm not just leaving them in limbo. Yeah. So thank you for that one. You know, you pick up so many pieces. Like I've had some realtors on there and just their strategies on communication, keeping the relationship going even after too. We talked about this long-term relationships, how to maintain those. So somebody might not build with you now, but in the future, maybe they sell that house, get a little bit more money because we're on the high end. Then they want to build that high end home too, or and stay top of mind because obviously I'm a broker. So I just sold a past client's home and got them another home too. So there's, you know, just, and then obviously I do home watch too. That stays top of mind as well. So that was a big key point, constantly staying top of mind in front of people. So, and that's part of the podcast too. I mean, I'm always in front of people. It's like a book. Like if somebody has a question for me, I say, hey, you can go check out episode this and I'll tell you exactly what you need to hear. So
we do that a lot in our group. People are like, is anyone blah, blah, blah. And my assistant or me or somebody will put a link to one of our episodes, right? Like it's just, I think one of the biggest things I've learned from interviewing so many people is just how to be really open to different perspectives and understand that it's not just my world. And I touched on that earlier when I used to think as a painting contractor, like we were the only trade that mattered, right? So that's not really what I mean about this, but it just gives me that broad perspective of the way, you know, I might add, I have some pretty hard and fast rules about certain things, way we do things, the way we coach things, but it's also really cool when you hear somebody else's approach and that it's working for them as well. But it's just a different approach and it just fuels your arsenal too. It just gives you more wisdom, more knowledge. So, you know, then I think the biggest thing, the other probably, the biggest thing, not so much I've learned, but benefit of having this show, and you could probably relate, is just the relationships you build. Like you know, you get access to people that you normally wouldn't get access to if you didn't have a podcast, you know, and I encourage, I've actually had my producer Travis on the show, I think a couple times through the years, talking about why contractors should have a show. And I think, you know, if I were strictly building a, I don't care what the business was, I'm a global business, you know, we're all over online and this and that, but if I were like a true business in a certain town, a certain area, I would have a show. And it didn't matter what I did, if I had a restaurant, if I was a painting contractor, and I would host the show and I would highlight other businesses in the area and things like that, because that's just going to build your local network of people, right? Like it's, you know, people are going to be, you call somebody up and you're like, hey, you want to come on my show? We're going to highlight you to our community. People are like, well, of course, right? And then what are they going to do? They're going to share the episode with people. So now everybody knows who my company is or my restaurant or my whatever. So yeah, I think, I'm not going to go on this soapbox moment right now.
No, I agree. I agree with you. You become kind of that digital mayor of your town too. People, it's top of mind. It's plain and simple. It's top of mind and doing this kind of stuff too. Even not a lot of contractors are willing to do it. Ever since I've done it, I mean, people, it's crazy how many people were building for it and people I've been talking to that said, yeah, I saw this episode. I heard your podcast on this. Never think they're listening, but they are listening. So it's important. And I think it's the future. I mean, if you're not doing it now, you're going to be kind of lost in the shuffle.
You got to be doing some sort of content. So,
yeah.
Well, dude, where can people find you? They want to learn more about you and check out your show or, you know, your company. Where do you want them to go?
Yeah, social media, all over that. Obviously, Bill Ryman on Facebook. I'm Bill Ryman on Instagram. And then shows The Real Build Podcast, every podcast platform that's on it. Website's rkryman.com. I had a real estate site. It's kind of in limbo now because I'm trying to figure out what direction to go with that. So mostly using the building site for majority of stuff. So go find me there.
Good stuff. We'll put all that in the show notes. And dude, I really appreciate you hanging out with me today on The Fight, man.
Yeah, I appreciate you having me on, man. It's an honor. And yeah, I'm glad to return the favor. It's top 100. So I'm glad to be here. Congrats on that.
There you go, buddy. It's all good. So, all right, man. Well, have a great day. And fighters, go check out Bill's stuff. Connect with him on Instagram and all that. See a lot of good stuff that he does there. Check out his podcast. He's got a lot of great guests that are just dropping little nuggets here and there. And so, that you're going to be better for it. And with that, Travis, rock us out, bring those guitars in. We'll see you guys next time on The Fight.